Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, Tap Sports Bar, MGM National Harbor. Final hour of our show. Chad's live at 2, Chad Dukes versus the world until 6:30. Big item on that show is that at 5:30 you can listen live to the Alex Smith press conference. Our beat reporter Craig Hoffman will be there. He is joining me now in for Danny today. We're going to be joined in just a few minutes by Torrey Smith, who played last year and won a Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles. He was traded as part of the frenzied free agency pace over the last couple of days to the Carolina Panthers. So he will look to team up with Cam Newton for a successful first season in Charlotte. Went to Stafford High School in the area, has a charity basketball game coming up he wants to chat about. So he said, yeah, hop on the show, let's talk some football. Torrey Smith will join us in just a few moments. Let's go around the NFL while we wait, though, with some of the big news and notes of the last 20 or so minutes. Dolphins guard Josh Sitton, who played most recently with the Bears, is a Pro Bowl player, signed a 2-year contract, which helps them upgrade their offensive line. Mike Pouncey, released today, asked for his release at center, so the interior of their offensive line was a mess for about an hour before Sitton, who's 32 years old, as of June, decided that he would sign on to be a guard for them and to help them up front. Remember that they also went out and spent on a 2-year deal for Danny Amendola and brought in Albert Wilson from the Kansas City Chiefs as well. So they're completely reworking their offense around Ryan Tannehill. Let's go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline right now, though, as promised, and welcome onto the show, Torrey Smith on to Grant and Danny. Always enjoy when local fellas do well, and the Stafford High School product has made us all in the Fredericksburg area very happy. Torrey, it's Grant Paulson joined by Craig Hoffman. How you doing, man?
Doing good. How you doing?
Doing very well. So first, congratulations on your Super Bowl championship and finding a new home. What a whirlwind last few months it's been for you. What's it like to be Torrey Smith right now?
It's always great. You know, I can't complain. Beautiful family. I can't complain. Everything else is just a bonus.
Torrey, when the Alex Smith-Kendall Fuller trade happened here, we had quite the experience of kind of getting to watch Kendall be traded on Twitter, which was a very weird thing, as he found out basically on Twitter. For you, how did you find out, and what's that process like of being a player in the NFL who is moved to another team?
For me, the Eagles definitely didn't surprise me like that. I was actually following Kendall's situation, and I thought it was hilarious, but it was messed up at the same time. But for me, I had the opportunity. Like, I knew if they weren't going to pick up my option, that I was going to have a nice market. And they ended up trading me, but it wasn't like, hey, you know, we're going to trade you. They're like, all right. You know, they called my agent and was like, hey, we're looking into possibly trading them. So I was like, okay. Like, I wasn't blindsided by it.
Which is ideal and wasn't necessarily the case for Kendall Fuller. Torrey Smith joins us on Grant and Danny. How about the season that you spent in Philadelphia? What impressed me is whether it was you or particularly Alshon Jeffrey. You see Trey Burton, who just went and got a bunch of money. It seemed like there were a lot of guys on offense that basically took less targets, less opportunities, gave of themselves for the betterment of the team. Other than Zach Ertz, who ate pretty much whenever he wanted to, it seemed like you guys kind of all just decided, let's go win football games. That was a special thing to watch.
Absolutely. That's what it was. You know, we all wanted it for each other. And ultimately, when you're playing for each other, that shows how the type of bond that you have. And it showed on the field. Everyone was genuinely happy for each other's success when they had it individually, because we knew our team was going in the right direction. So I've never had so much fun playing football as I did with those guys, and there were no egos. And I've been in great receiver rooms, honestly, every year since I've been in the league. But that right there was special because, now I'm one of the older guys. And to be a part of that, it was awesome.
You're not that old. We're both 29, of course, Maryland product, 8 seasons in the NFL. Torrey Smith here on Grant and Danny. Before we get to the Panthers, there were reports out there that teams were calling and offering second-round picks for Nick Foles, who just went on a magical carpet ride that nobody saw coming, except maybe you guys in the building. I'm surprised they wouldn't trade him at this point and cash in their chips. Are you surprised that it looks like Foles is going to stay and back up Carson Wentz?
No, because you don't. One, he's what backups are getting paid. He's very cheap for that right now. And two, you don't know when Carson is going to be ready. So if I'm a GM, I'm not getting rid of him.
Torrey Smith with us on The Fan, headed to Carolina, a team that has really kind of needed a number one wide receiver since Steve Smith left. You know, Kelvin Benjamin was kind of that for a little stretch, but inconsistent. They're probably expecting you to be that guy on the outside. What are your expectations to go and be Cam Newton's go-to guy in that offense?
For me, it's just to go in and be the best version of myself. I don't think it's a situation where I have to be the guy. I think it's, you know, one of the things where, you know, we're all going to be, the ball's going to be spread around and everyone's going to get their chances. So more so than anything, I just have to capitalize when I have my opportunities. And, you know, if I do what I'm supposed to do, I should have plenty of them.
Torrey, I'm looking at your Twitter account. It's always entertaining, and I always enjoy it. You should follow Torrey Smith. He's at Torrey Smith, WR. You've got a great little meme that you posted with this being day one of the tournament where it's Stephen Colbert, and it says, "Let's all agree with one thing," and then it says, "Duke sucks." As a Maryland Terp, right. And I love that. Terp's not in the tournament today or tomorrow. It's going to be kind of weird watching college basketball this time of year without seeing Maryland, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, so I'm not in a rush to watch it at all. I'll just kind of see the highlights and see what happens. I watch the ladies when they come up and get excited about that. But in terms of the men's tournament, I don't care who wins. I hope everyone. And as long as North Carolina Duke doesn't win, I'll be fine anyway.
Are you boycotting?
Hold on, Torrey. You realize where you've just been traded to, right? You just alienated a lot of new fans.
Well, they all can hear the same thing.
I love that. Are you boycotting completely, though, Torrey? Are you not going to fill out a bracket because Maryland's not in it?
No, I'll watch. I'll watch it when I get the chance. But I have no ties to it. So, you know, literally my only ties to be the guy is to be the guy that everyone hates. Because that's definitely going to be when I'm watching it. And I'm cheering against Duke and Carolina.
Torrey Smith is with us on Grant and Danny. Another thing I wanted to ask you about that I saw on Twitter. You had retweeted a comment from Andrew Whitworth. And a lot of past players the last few days have come out, and I don't really get this, but they make jokes or they poke fun at what guys are being paid in the NFL. I know you've been one of the guys that kind of publicly said, hey, wait a second, this is good for everybody. What do you make of free agency, the frenzy the last couple days, and the unprecedented contract of Kirk Cousins that could help players get more guaranteed money?
I love it. Like I said, I'm all about the player. I mean, the landscape's changed even since I've been in the league or even when I was a free agent for the first time a few years ago. It's been amazing, and that's a product of it. And the guys from the past were responsible for that. The commitments they made, and with the CBA and the way things turned out, that's the reason why guys are able to make what they're making. So, for me, I'll never feel like, man, this guy shouldn't get this, because if someone's willing to pay you, you should get it. And if it were me, I would want it. So, why would I, you know, be mad at anyone else when, you know, they go out there and they work their tails off to be in that position as well. So we always say, just like when you get drafted, which is coming up soon, all it takes is one team to fall in love with you. And when you're good, if they're willing to pay you that, you know, you're not going to say, hey, man, I don't deserve this. Take it back.
Torrey Smith with us on The Fan, a guy who's done a lot in the communities he's been a part of, and obviously his home community here in the D.C. area as well. And we understand you got a charity basketball game coming up. Tell us a little bit more about that. And I'm also curious, just because you are someone who's so active, like what drives you to be socially active in the current climate and just kind of in general?
Yeah, well, for me, I'm very involved in the community and socially because of my own experiences. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for people lending a helping hand to myself or my family. And I've experienced things myself, and my family experienced things where I know that there are things in our society that aren't right. So I just try to go out there and just do the right thing at all times. Am I perfect? No. But I just try to be the best person I can and help as many people as I can. And the basketball game is just a small part of that. It helps fund our charity and to be able to do the things that we're doing in the community. It focuses primarily in Baltimore, but I do things back home in Virginia and wherever I'm playing. I literally just left a movie screening, took an elementary school to go see Black Panther, so I'm up in Philadelphia. But we're all over the place. With the basketball game, a bunch of guys around the league come out, play ball, for a great cause. And you can come out. It's always a great time for me. Everyone's there, from my one-year-old to my grandmother. So it's for everyone, and again, for a great cause. You can get tickets at RoyFrontsArena.com, or you can head over to TorreySmith.org to learn more, and even donate a ticket if you cannot make it. So it's pretty cool.
I've been to the Torrey Smith charity basketball game before when it was at University of Maryland. First thing that impressed me was the number of guys from all over the NFL. It wasn't just your teammates at that time in Baltimore. I mean, you have guys that have played never with you and all over the league, which is really impressive and speaks to how popular you are with other players. But also the competitiveness of the game, like D'Angelo Hall was hitting threes and getting in people's faces. You guys have fun, but you have legitimate good basketball players on the floor too.
Yeah, we had some good time. I'll tell you what, I'm still in shock. And whenever anyone asks me about D'Angelo Hall's hooping skills, I always bring up the fact of how shocked I was. Literally off the tip-off, he's pulling from Steph Curry range.
Yes.
And draining the first three. I'm like, wait, that was too confident. Like, we're going to have to guard this guy.
And he didn't think about it, Torrey. Like, he got the tip.
He
basically walked across the timeline, and literally Steph Curry ranges the way to do it. He pulls up 7 feet behind the three-point line and just nails a three. I thought, whoa, I'm at a different kind of game than I thought I was.
D'Angelo does not have confidence problems.
No.
Oh, not at all. And if there was one moment that proved it, it was that.
RoyalFarmsArena.com, TorreySmith.org.
Last thing for you, Torrey. How good of a basketball player is Torrey Smith, and who is the best NFL basketball player Torrey Smith has seen?
I can play ball. You know, I probably say my game's more like Dwayne Wade. I'm a streaky shooter sometimes, but I can get to the rack. These days, I play very conservative because, you know, I don't want to be too crazy. But if I get the chance, I'm definitely going to try to posterize somebody. you know, I'd say the best player out there, I don't know, Le'Veon Bell is really good. Tyrod Taylor is really good. There's a few guys that, you know, who obviously a lot of guys are getting recruited in a bunch of different sports. But every time you go somewhere, you see someone who's a rookie hooper.
Well, Torrey, you do great work, and everybody in Stafford and in the Baltimore area, now in Philadelphia, follow you because they appreciate what you meant to the community. Thanks so much for joining us on Grant and Danny. Have a great weekend. The game is 2 days away again. You can go to TorreySmith.org for more info. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Torrey.
All right, thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Will update you on the games going on in the tournament next, right here live from MGM National Harbor at Tap Sports Bar. Grant.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Danny on the Fan. Rams head coach Sean McVay brought center John Sullivan from Washington, where he had played under McVay as the offensive coordinator, to L.A. to be a center last year. He played really well, actually. It's one of those moves where you go, wait a second, Redskins, you might have had a guy right under your nose that you let slip away. He's on a visit with the Giants, apparently, coming back to the division. I'll say this for New York. They've already signed the best offensive tackle on the board in Nate Solder. They've signed a new starting guard as well. Now they're poking around on Jod Sullivan. Their offensive line was dreadful, and it made everything else on their offense anemic last year. If they can fix their O-line this offseason, which they're well on the way to doing, they'll be competitive in the NFC East very quickly. Dallas gets Ezekiel Elliott back for the full season. I think because of that, Dak Prescott is going to be better. Not going to be what he was as a rookie. In my opinion, that wasn't real, but I think he'll be better, and they'll be better. And Philadelphia is the defending champions, and they haven't gotten worse so far this offseason. This division looks tough right now.
Yeah, it really does. You think of just 3 years ago in 2015 when the Redskins won it at 9-7, and you're going, man, this division stinks. Now all of a sudden, if the Giants, the first thing for them, they've got to get Odell Beckham back. Their offense is nothing without him.
Everything goes through him.
And so, and it's rare that a skill position on the exterior especially has that kind of impact, but that is what Odell Beckham is as a player.
Wouldn't you say it's him and Antonio Brown probably in terms of value at that position?
I don't know if there's anyone else that's close, with all due respect to A.J. Green and other receivers that
I
would love to have.
Category. Those two guys, though, it's like in basketball when you feed everything to Tim Duncan and he's coming back out to the perimeter. Those two guys make it all work.
Right, exactly. And so getting Beckham back they have the number 2 pick in the draft, by the way, and they could very likely go quarterback there, but they also could add Saquon Barkley potentially. Or,
oh, that would scare me, Craig.
Quentin Nelson at guard even, talking about solidifying their O-line. And they could completely remake an O-line that has not only been bad last year, but has been bad for a number of years. And then all of a sudden, Eli could look a lot better. Ezekiel Elliott, you talk about a skill position guy who has an impact on everything. That dude's ridiculous in terms of his impact for a running back. Makes Dak Prescott a better quarterback. We'll see what they do at receiver, too, though. You know, Dez Bryant was thought to be cut. It looks like he's going to be sticking around. They need to supplement their weaponry on offense. But their offensive line is still great. Defensively, they're going to be a year older in a very, very young secondary. And if you're the Redskins, though, I don't think you're looking at any of those teams going, man, maybe looking at Philly, because obviously they just won the Super Bowl and looking, they might be miles ahead of us. But if you're looking at the Giants and the Cowboys, I don't think the Redskins should feel, nevertheless do feel, like they're in a different class.
No, it's not an insurmountable task by any means, but there is not a stinker in this division. There's not a team you go in and you go, that's 4-12, that's 5-11. And I think the mirage was last year for New York, not 2 years ago when they went 11-5. You blew out Ben McAdoo. You're bringing in Pat Shurmur, who can coordinate offense, and I think will be a fine head coach, despite what happened in Cleveland several years ago. That is where coaches and quarterbacks generally go to die and isn't always indicative of what they really are. How about this update? The Vikings took Kirk Cousins out to dinner last night. There's been some question as to whether or not they'll be able to continue to build to that defense and just keep their good players around with the Cousins contract. The best player in free agency remaining after Kirk Cousins puts pen to paper is a defensive lineman, Sheldon Richardson, in Seattle last year, longtime Jet. He is in Minnesota meeting with the Vikings. So he and Cousins are going to pass each other in the hallways at their brand-new facility. Cousins will be signing a contract. Richardson will shake hands with him and say, yeah, I'm looking at this potential home as well.
Please come here and don't sack me on another team.
If they can work that out, they will have signed, possibly, the highest sought-after free agent on both sides of the ball. Amazing.
I think that's accurate.
That really never happens. And again, I would say that this is a visit and not a whole lot more than that yet. But the fact that they even think they can get a deal done and they have him there, that's a big, big news story breaking on Pro Football Talk right now. So look out for the Vikings on Richardson.
We're still trying to see where some of these guys go. I mean, for as many moves have already been made, there are some big names still available, from Richardson to Ndamukong Suh. Obviously, the Redskins are still trying to figure out Zach Brown, and he took a visit yesterday, to the Raiders. So there's all these moves still to be made, and the pace is going to slow. But like J.P. Finley tweeted this last night, last year Zach Brown, who was coming off being the league's leading tackler, didn't sign until April 3rd.
Right.
So as much as it's going to slow down, and obviously the press conference, which you can hear right here on The Fan coming up in 3 hours, is a big deal in terms of Alex Smith getting introduced, we're still a long way from this stuff being over.
True. I would say in rebuttal to that, Zach Brown is also a free agent again and mm-hmm. came with a little bit of baggage and leaves with a little bit of baggage, and that's why he signed in April. I mean, generally speaking, guys that are the best players on your team, don't sign them, but I think the point's well taken. You're going to be able to unearth some gems underneath the stones you're overturning, so I think that is a good point. One quick thought on Cousins. Did you see any of the coverage late last night of his dinner and some of that stuff?
I seen it on Twitter this morning.
So for those of you that didn't see, that, they had a bunch of TV crews show up at the airport where he got off the private jet they flew him to Minneapolis on. And it was him and his wife, Julie, and their little baby, Cooper, who was on stage with us on 106.7 The Fan several weeks back.
He was on for a little bit until he started to cry, and Julie came to the rescue because Julie's a superhero.
Cousins decided to carry the baby carrier. What is that? It's not a stroller. What is it called?
A backpack attachment kind of
thing?
No,
it doesn't matter. He was carrying some big baby contraption off the plane. Julie's carrying Cooper. Later in the night, though, they went out to dinner with anyone who's anyone in the Vikings organization.
Yeah. Adam Thielen was there.
Adam Thielen was there, as well as a couple of the other starting players on offense, Kyle Rudolph. And they're all out at dinner. And I guess they didn't bring baby Coop along because there was video of Kirk Cousins leaving with Rick Spielman, the GM, and he stopped and talked to the media for a second. But there was one guy there who I guess was a Redskins fan because he just kept yelling to Kirk, "Thanks for the memories in Washington, Kirk. We're going to miss you in Washington." And this is in Minnesota. It's like, why is this guy there? Why did he come stand outside this restaurant? And so Cousins awkwardly looks over at him. He's like, "Thanks." And it's all these Vikings fans getting their mini helmets signed and their University
of Minnesota.
Someone
brought a baseball.
They did.
And he had a little trouble signing it, and he goes, I guess you're not a baseball guy. And it's like, no, I'm about to make $86 million to play quarterback,
Rick
which is
like,
play with a football.
He's not a baseball player, dude. But the funny thing was this guy from D.C. who just kept going, we're going to miss you in Washington. And then Cousins is walking to this car to get into it with his wife, Julie. And the dude reaches out to shake his hand with his left hand, and Cousins like gives him his left hand. It's just an awkward exchange. But it's this former Redskins, or this Redskins fan in Minnesota just talking about the Redskins as Rick Spielman is next to him. It's just so awkward.
If you're a left-handed shaker who takes, what are we in, March vacations to Minnesota,
yeah,
that's all perfect.
And that, by the way, is a guy I'd love to have on the show. I have so many questions.
Yeah.
How did you end up there? How did you know what restaurant he was in?
Hey, guy, call in.
Right. Grant and Danny on the Fan, 800-636-1067 is the number. Let's do this next. We will get you an update on the two games that are ongoing. Got other games getting ready to start in the tournament here in day one of the NC2A tournament we're monitoring from National Harbor at Tap Sports Bar. We'll also break down the top 10 remaining free agents, which should the Redskins have interest in. The best available players with the dust settled. I've got the list in front of me. We'll run through it next on Grant and Danny. Two games well underway on day one of the tournament. A third is getting ready to start in moments. A four-seed Gonzaga. A lot of people feel like they're better than their seed, taking on the 13th-seeded UNC Greensboro opponent in a 1:30 East tip, TNT, West Region action.
It's underway. Whopping 2-2 score early, Grant.
Love it. Zag shoot 50% from the floor. Seventh best in the country from the outside, which always helps you come tournament time, and you got to be able to hit your threes. They do not take bad shots. They move the ball well. They are as good as it gets when it comes to basically ball distribution, passing, and they stand around the outside and everyone can hit threes. And this is something that has been the case for a little while. They don't have the ring-leading stud that they have had over the years, but Killen Tilly, their best player, is a big boy at 6'10". He can step out. He's got that stretch four NBA game that is tough to defend. UNC Greensboro, the Spartans, allow teams to shoot 40% from the floor and score 62 points per game, which is top six in the country. So a great defensive team. They average about 8 steals per contest. This is what the tournament tends to be a lot of the time because the committee's not dumb. It's the great three-point shooting team against the team that doesn't allow three-point shooting. It's
right.
The great offense against the great defense. They pit those matchups in that way on oftentimes on purpose.
Yeah, we get a lot of fun matchups. I need Gonzaga to win this. I'm in an eliminator pool. So
Ooh.
You pick two teams on the first 2 days, then one from there on out. Can't pick the same team twice. So you want to pick a team that you think is going to win but isn't going to be around that much longer. Gonzaga and Michigan, my picks today. I almost went with Alabama riding the Colin Sexton bandwagon, but then decided that was a terrible idea because Virginia Tech's too good.
Oklahoma, Rhode Island, 5 minutes into the second half, 15 to play, 44 all in a 10-seed Oklahoma, 7-seed Rhode Island matchup. Tennessee and Wright State are at the half. So far, the Volunteers are in charge in the 3 versus the 14 game. Some of the other games coming up this afternoon, right when we go off the air, game four of the day tips off. It's the first 1 versus a 16 matchup. Kansas against Penn. Look at the Midwest region of your bracket to follow along here. TBS televised game. The Jayhawks turned the corner last month. They had to go small because their big guy got hurt. He's supposed to come back today. But they've used 4 guards, and they shoot a lot of threes. This is kind of your Golden State Warriors-esque look as far as college goes. They connect 40% of the time. If they do get their center back, maybe they end up going a little bit more neutral in terms of their size. But generally, 4 guards, a little bit smaller, and they run you out the gym. Penn is second in the country in 3-point field goal defense. They need to be sharp in that area against Kansas, another one of those strongly put-together matchups by the committee. Highest-ranked 16-seed Penn since 2012 when UNC Asheville took Cuse to the brink. We talked about that game earlier today.
That's why they invented scoreboards.
That is 1 versus 16 in that one. The 2:15 matchup of note this afternoon, 2:45 Eastern during Chad Dukes versus the World on CBS. Duke, a 2-seed. Iona, a 15-seed. We both agree on how good the Blue Devils are. I saw them in person take on Wake Forest at Cameron Indoor this year for my bachelor party when I went down to Raleigh and made the road trip to Durham.
Mm-hmm.
Marvin Bagley's unbelievable.
He's
21
so
points, 11.5 rebounds per game. I was almost as impressed with Wendell Carter, who's also going to be a lottery pick. I believe he's a Georgia native. 13.8 points, 9.3 rebounds. Those two guys are just impossible to defend in terms of having two bigs that can be in the block and You can take one of those guys away, maybe with double teams. You can't take them both away. I know you love, even though he struggled shooting, on the outside, their veteran leader.
Yeah, no, and look, I don't want to get tackled in this bar that we're in by saying I love Grayson Allen. I think he's a really good player. My personal fondness for him is not a thing that necessarily exists.
I think he's player who's also dirty.
He's had his moments where that is unquestioned.
Lots of moments.
As a college basketball player, he is really, really, really good. He's a good shooter. He's a good decision maker outside of when he decides to trip people. But as a with the ball, he is a good decision maker. And he's a veteran who's been there. He's a senior. Remember, he played a huge role in that title game at 15, a game in which Jahlil Okafor was one of the best players on the floor, the same Jahlil Okafor who's now basically out of the NBA.
I knew nothing about Iona. I don't pretend to be a college basketball expert, so I had to look them up last night. Here's some of what I found out.
Okay. Where is Iona?
Score. That's also a lovely question. I'm not really sure. Do you know?
I feel like that would. Maybe we do this tomorrow. We play a trivia
game.
Where
is that school?
Where is, for instance, Wright State, the team playing Tennessee right now?
I should know where Iona is. Wright State, I believe, is Georgia.
See, I thought it was like
no.
Cleveland.
Where is Wright State?
Ohio.
Cleveland,
Ohio,
right?
Okay. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yes.
Where is Iona?
I have a one up here on Grant. I think that's in New York. Would be my guess.
That is correct.
I'm 2 for 2.
You're doing well so far.
I'm winning my own trivia game.
Know where your colleges are. Here's what I can tell you about Iona. They have 5 players who score in double figures. Scary balance. 3-point percentage about 39.8. Was top 30 in the country this year. They have a junior guard named Ricky McGill, who's one of the better untalked about players in the tournament. Underrated. Just an underutilized sometimes talent, but he averages about 14 points and 6 assists. The Gales is their mascot. I don't know if everyone knows that, so we'll throw that out there. They are a bad rebounding team, and that's why I give them no chance in this game. They get out-rebounded by 4 on average in their own conference. Now you deal with Duke and Bagley and Carter.
Good luck.
Ick. A number 6, Miami, number 11, Loyola Chicago. They tip off at 3:10 during CDVTW. True TV, Impractical Jokers, sandwiched around this one. South Region. The Canes are playing a team in the tournament for the first time since 1985 in Loyola Chicago, an 11 seed. That's always helpful. Miami has had...
That means none of their players were alive by a decade.
Correct. Miami's had really good wins this year. When they're right, they're really right. They beat UNC on the road among some other quality wins. They're just inconsistent. Bruce Bowen is out with a foot injury. You should know that name, by the way. They seem to be very confident without him. They like their depth. Loyola Chicago, their mascot is...
A Chicago hot dog.
Take a guess at the Loyola Chicago mascot.
That's not the Loyola minus Chicago is the Greyhounds. I have no idea what Loyola Chicago is.
They are the Ramblers, my friend.
Oh.
They're looking to go back to 1963.
There's jokes about personnel at our radio station that could be made there. I am going to save all personal attacks for at least off the air.
You don't know what happened in 1963?
There was a December that wound up in a song by that was rather famous. My mother, I believe, was born in 63.
That's exciting. That's actually what I was going to say. Mrs. Hoffman was born. That was my trivia question.
No, also, December,
I didn't know this until yesterday.
Coincidentally.
Apparently, they won the national title that year.
Oh, that's what you meant.
Who knew? By the way, I don't even know how that's possible, that Loyola Chicago was the best basketball team in the country, but that was the case. They come in having won 10 in a row. They hit threes. They rebound. And then tonight, you've got number 1 Villanova, 16 Radford, number 8 Virginia Tech, number 9 Alabama, number 4 Arizona, number 13 Buffalo. Some of the big matchups. And you said earlier today, the one you're most excited about is Oklahoma, Rhode Island. And right now we got a 3-point game halfway through the second half, and it looks like your classic fun 7-10.
Yeah, for sure. Trey Young hit his first 4 shots in this game, unless he's hit one since I last looked. He has not hit one since. Started 2-2 from 3, 4-4 from the field. Now 2-4 and 4-6. So he's someone that can get going again, and if he does, and I think he actually just scored a bucket. So Trey Young trying to now do what he did at the start. He started hot, finish hot, and they can close him out.
I always root for the team with the best player to go the furthest. So in this game, I want Oklahoma. I want to see more Trey Young. I won't root for Colin Sexton tonight because Virginia Tech's local, and I got too many buddies and friends who would be sad if they lost. But generally speaking, if I got no horse in the race, just give me the best player. A Tennessee 34-23 leaders over Wright State in the 3:14 game at halftime. 50-47 Oklahoma over Rhode Island. They're about halfway through the second half. And Gonzaga trails UNC Greensboro very early, 8-5, about 5 minutes into that game on TNT. right now. And if you're curious about Trae Young's line, he's got 10 points on 4 of 7 shooting from the floor, hit a couple threes on 5 attempts so far. So let's pay off what we told you we would do to wrap up the show next, and that is we will give you the list of the best remaining free agents, and we'll play a game called Are the Redskins a Potential Landing Spot, Yes or No, with each of those top 10 free agents.
That is a catchy name.
It's a name that I came up with after great consideration last night. I spent about 2 hours on that, and I wrote it down in my journal, and I laughed about it later. He's Craig in for Danny. I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. Chad Dukes versus the world comes your way in 12 minutes. 5:30 today on The Fan. Make note, you can hear the Alex Smith press conference live. The Alex Smith era. We're Grant and Danny, and we welcome you back on 106.7 The Fan. No Danny today. Craig Hoffman is in, hanging out with me. We are watching college basketball as the tournament is underway. Mike Garofolo has reported the Browns are releasing cornerback Jason McCourty.
That was my, huh.
That, to me, is of interest. Anytime a veteran corner who's played well recently becomes available, it's good news for the Redskins. You want to try to flood that market so that there aren't that many seats to sit down in for all these guys, because it lowers the number that these guys are going to get, because the Redskins clearly are not willing to spend a lot of money at the position, but they do need help there. So keep tabs on McCourty. He wouldn't crack the top 10 remaining free agents. Let's run through that list. We're going to go
best name game ever.
It's the best name game ever. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to say yes or no. Should the Redskins be, let's not say interested, because they could be interested in all these guys. I think that's lazy. We'll say, should they sign this player at the money it would take? Should they be a finalist, let's say, make a real good offer to one of these guys? First, Ndamukong Suh. Patriots, Seahawks, Saints, Cowboys have been reportedly interested in the 31-year-old. Seahawks seem to be the leaders in the clubhouse. His next visit would be with the Saints. I say absolutely not. Not a fit for their 34.
Absolutely not. Cost too much money. Not a fit.
Sheldon Richardson, 27-year-old, has played a bunch in the 3-4. Was in Seattle last year. Some baggage and question marks, but he was a model citizen with the Seahawks, who are still wanting to bring him back. He's visiting the Vikings today. I say absolutely yes. I would love for him to be their biggest splash signing of the offseason.
Agreed. Very, very good player. This defense needs very, very good players. And I think a big thing is if Seattle wants him back, then that tells you what you need to know about him as a teammate.
Justin Pugh, 27-year-old, has played tackle, has played guard. He went to Syracuse.
Yes, he did.
May know a thing or two about him.
I was there with him.
He is visiting the Cardinals, has some other teams interested in him, going to get a bunch of money. He's injured a lot, though. 13 games missed over the last 2 years. Should the Redskins be a finalist for him?
Heartbrokenly, I will say no, and it has to do more with how much I think he's going to cost. I still think that Pugh's going to get paid. And if not, though, I would be interested because he's not only a guy that plays guard, but has an emergency spot to play tackle, so that position flex has some value.
Yeah, Pugh I say no to as well. I think the price is a little steep. I don't love the injury history either. He would help you weaken a division rival, but that's going to happen anyway, as the former Giant is unlikely to go back. Tyrann Mathieu was released by the Cardinals, led the NFL in snaps with Arizona last year. Had injuries that may have cost him a step, but his numbers don't make it look that way. He can play in the slot. He can be a ball hawk. He turns 26 in May. He plays some safety, plays some corner. Tyrann Mathieu.
Yes. At the end of the day, what this defense lacks the most is playmakers. And if you have a chance to get one, pony up and get it. And Tyrann Mathieu, like, his position more than it is corner, safety, whatever, is playmaker. Go sign playmaker.
I would love to sign the Honey Badger.
Yeah.
I'm a yes on this as well. Dontari Poe, consider me a yes. One of the best remaining interior defensive linemen. That market has been either kind of the cheap additions or nothing major really happening yet, other than Muhammad Wilkerson, who had a one-year show-me deal. Poe is only 27 years old. He should be favored more than he is, but he's a two-down player, and that is becoming the opposite of sexy in this league. He's not really a pass rusher. He's a run stuffer. He played really well with the Falcons last year, though. I am intrigued by Poe. I would love to see the Redskins sign him.
I am also intrigued by Dontari Poe for the same reasons you just said. A two-down player who stuffs the run, sign me up.
Yes,
because
I'm in on
he's
that.
Not going to cost as much money, and they need a two-down player who can stop the run.
Former Bills cornerback E.J. Gaines has interest from the Texans. Gaines was really good in Buffalo last year.
Can he play the slot? I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know a lot.
90% of the time he was outside last year. I've talked recently to people that are in his camp that say yes. They're supposed to say yes.
Right.
I don't know the answer to that.
If he is all right in the slot, I'm interested. If not, I think I'm all right.
I'm interested regardless because I like Quentin Dunbar and I like Fabian Moreau, but I really like knowing what I'm
getting. I think that might be our biggest difference of opinion on football is how much better I think Quentin Dunbar is than you think he
is. See, I don't even know if that's fair because I really – well, if you think he's awesome, then yes.
I think he's a bona fide NFL starter.
Yeah, I think that you can go into the year with him starting, and that's fine. It's not going to be the end of the world. I would like to do better is all I'm saying. And I'd like to have depth at that spot because I don't think you'd have enough guys. Kenny Vaccaro is a safety, can play some slot, drawn reported interest from nobody publicly yet, but I'm sure there's going to be a market. 15th pick in 2013.
Yes, interested. That position flex and some insurance for Monte Nicholson, I think, is something this team still needs, unless they are saying, yeah, no, we're Craven's fellow. We're going to keep him around, which I don't think is the plan as of now.
Good players on defense. Generally, my answer is going to be yes. Adrian Claiborne, Bucks, Patriots, Falcons have been linked to him. 9.5 sacks in Atlanta last year. 6 came in one game, though, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, that is weird. Look, they need a pass rusher of some kind. I think my number one option would still be re-signing Junior Gallette, but they need to find someone, so I guess I'm interested.
That is the best 8 players available, according to RotoWorld. There are different publications ranking players in other ways. Josh Sitton today, one of the best available, has signed a deal with the Miami Dolphins, a guard who played last year with the Bears, a former Pro Bowler. Jordy Nelson, cut by the Packers, is going to be an Oakland Raider, the soon-to-be 33-year-old, getting a deal done with John Gruden. Final thoughts on the day that we've spent here at MGM National Harbor, sir. What do you got?
Well, one, I cannot wait to come back and watch more basketball here tomorrow. This place is an incredible setup, and if you are looking for a place to watch games, I don't know how much better you can do than this. My other, obviously, overwhelming thought is I now have my eyes on 5:30. Really 5:15. Paul Richardson is going to get introduced at 5:15. 5:30, Alex Smith, Jay Gruden, Doug Williams step to the podium. And I'm curious to see how much more we learn about how this trade went down and obviously what Alex Smith and Jay Gruden have talked about in terms of keeping this offense at an elite level.
We'll be listening on the fan. Craig is heading that way to get out to Ashburn to do his reporting duties, a multitasker today, and he's headed there next. Great job, man. Thank you so much for filling in. Really appreciate it. We'll see you again tomorrow. Chad is on site. He will be with you next right here on 106.7 The Fan. Keep it right here for CDVTW.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.